It's the Tiltcast, episode 581, Load Order.
And this week, guys, we talk more Fallout 4 with mods and Fallout New Vegas with a shit ton of mods. Stay tuned.
Mods. It loads last.
And we're back.
Wow.
The Tiltcast. It's an M-rated show. It is Sunday, April 28th, and a balmy 67 degrees. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rusty.
And with the three of us, you will get some amount of time's worth of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Some games, some news. It's not really balmy. It's pretty moist outside.
It's thick and moist.
It's raining sideways an hour ago.
It's not raining sideways up here, but it is definitely considered moist.
Me and Jason were dodging naders last night.
I didn't dodge naders. There was some lightning bolts. We saw lightning bolts. That was fun.
At a certain point, you said you were going to bed, so me and Jason exited the group chat and went to a side chat because we were reporting back and forth on tornadoes last night.
As the primary home of the saint of weather, Travis Myers. Website was having traffic issues last night, I guess, from all the people watching.
Yeah, the damn thing.
Literally texting Justin updates every few minutes.
It was 5 minutes behind. That doesn't help you a lot when it's, you know, nader weather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be behind.
No, definitely not. 5 minutes, it's already passed.
Yeah. So, and we actually, at one point, there was one beelining for my side of town.
Yeah, there actually was. And
just before it got to like Glenpool and the outskirts of Kiefer, it just died off.
I was at the point of about
fortunate.
Trent lives southeast or southwest of town, and I was almost about to text him. Because, you know, he just don't give a shit. So he doesn't pay any attention. And then, of course, I was texting my mom. My mom was up and with the dog watching the weather. But it was, it get windy and then it wasn't. And then the tornado sirens would go on and then they turn right back off. And then they come right back on and they go right back off. So it was like, not really touch and go. I mean, you live here long enough, you just kind of get used to it.
Well, for the most part, like for our neck of the woods, they kept turning them on and off because like the news and National Weather Service said we were going to have like 70 plus mile an hour winds from the squall line.
I didn't have 70 mile an hour winds.
I don't think the winds at my house ever got above like 45 to 50.
I don't have any broken limbs in my backyard, so it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've got one potted plant in the house because of a goofy work competition from last year about trying to keep alive a really easy plant. And I knew there would be a lot of water this week, so it's outside and it's just hanging on my my patio table. And it was just blowing around a little bit. I was like, all right, it's probably fine. I look out this morning, it's like stupid green. It's like I've gotten all the nutrients lately. But
clearly, I mean, they were really rowdy because there were tornadoes like all day in central Oklahoma.
Yeah, and south of southeast of here, there was a couple of small ones.
Yep. Well, there was one cell that just kept dropping tornadoes. I think it dropped three or four different confirmed touchdowns. From like 11:30 at night last night up until 2 a.m. this morning. And I sat there and watched it all. I might be a little low energy today because I was up till like 3 a.m.
I wasn't up till 3 a.m. I was up till about 1.
Yeah.
I don't know where Sulphur, Oklahoma is, but apparently that got hit pretty hard. And there was 4 deaths.
Oof.
100 injuries.
It's not a... Yeah. That shit's for real, but I mean... The reality is... I don't miss it at all. Thunderstorms up here, I mean, we get wind, we get rain, we get thunderstorms, and that's about it.
I guess it was an F3, but there were 27 tornadoes last night.
Yep.
Yeah. All around us. Yeah, that's the nice thing about Tulsa is just about nothing ever hits us. I'm looking at a map that shows where they all hit. It's all like southern and the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. So, like, if you live
still lucky. I mean,
yeah, Tulsa gets really lucky.
Well,
and I'm not sure about the science behind it, but regardless of the science behind it, we just about never get hit.
Well, I know last night it was specifically that the really tornadic stuff ended up merging into the it was coming up more straight from the south, and the stuff that had hit like Oklahoma and Stillwater and stuff and dropped tornadoes near Stillwater and Enid and Ponca City was moving more directly east. So those southern storms ended up just merging with that line, and it almost completely killed them all off. Otherwise, it was looking like we were going to get hit pretty hard. I mean, we got hit pretty hard that last year at Father's Day. Big old 100-mile-an-hour windstorm.
I had to look up Sulphur, Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's down near Ardmore, south of Oklahoma City and Norman.
Yeah.
A good bit.
It's a town of 5,000 people. That's why I've just never been there. Like, there's nothing to do there.
The only reason I know where it is because I'm a giant weather nerd and I'm always watching during storm season. And, you know, despite, you know, some of the bigger tornadoes we've had, like in Oklahoma City and Stillwater and Moore and Norman and even, you know, granted this is several decades ago, but even in and around Tulsa, growing up with it the way I have, I've just grown up into a giant ass weather nerd who has to watch every time the storms come through, whether anything serious is headed my way or not, just because it's...
Yeah, Holdenville
is a legitimate hobby around here.
Yeah, Holdenville is also pretty far away. It's 93 miles away from here.
Yeah.
But it's a town of like 5,000 people. Like, we have a lot of those like towns that I've just never heard of in Oklahoma that are way out of the way. Like, both of those towns are like not even on their way to anything. They're not even off major highways. Like, they're off like country highways. They're just small towns in the middle of freaking nowhere. Not that that makes it any less important, but it's just like you'll hear about tornadoes in Oklahoma, and it's always some small ass town in the middle of nowhere. It's just like, I don't move somewhere where tornadoes don't hit. These major metropolitan areas are majorly metropolitan for a reason, except for Moore, Oklahoma, which seems to get wiped off the face of the map every 20 years.
Norman, too.
Yeah, Norman gets hit a fair amount of times. Mm-hmm. But Tulsa, it's like, what, every 20 years we get hit by something and it hits a neighborhood?
Yeah, pretty much. Or, you know, there's generally stuff will spin back up more often, like on the east side of Broken Arrow.
Yeah, my house has been here for
A few miles back behind you, you know, is generally where stuff will spin up again. But it's usually again, back out towards, you know, the more rural and farm country on the other side of Tulsa and Broken Arrow when it spins up again.
Yeah. We get pretty lucky. I mean, this whole neighborhood's been here for 44 years, so it's obviously it hasn't been hit in 44 years at least, right?
Yep. Most neighborhoods in and around Tulsa. And a lot of it, too, is that the you have so much because of the river and all the lakes in close proximity. One, you have all the moisture, but that also kind of superheats everything. So there's generally a pretty good what meteorologists call a cap over the city.
There's a difference in temperature enough that it causes issues for things that were starting before it got here.
Yeah.
But we're not here to...
They just generally don't hold together. But anyway, we're not a weather podcast, but like I said, it's a hobby. And I might be a little tired, a little loopy.
Yeah, I
didn't get a ton of sleep.
I was annoyed because the game I was playing, it's impossible to alt-tab out of it. So I had Messenger up on one screen because I'm old and I do that. And the game on the other screen, I'd see Jason message, and then I was trying to watch the forecast, and so I'd have to exit the forecast on my phone or the stream and then answer and then jump back into the stream. And so eventually I just stopped playing for a while so I could make sure nothing was happening. It got kind of windy, and I was like, all right, maybe I need to pay attention to this for a minute. And the sirens kicked on. I was like, maybe. And I was like, nah, I want to play video games, but it's getting late.
You know, you're not at the bottom of the hill. You could probably hook up like a $10 antenna to your TV and get the fucking news.
Yeah, no, I probably could. But then I'd have to watch my TV and not play video games.
Yeah, see, importance. Priorities. There is a priority list, and Travis Meyer is not super duper high on that priority list.
On that mod list, it loads less.
It loads less.
Oh, yeah, no, Rusty. That station changed their web player for the live video on the website.
Mm-hmm.
It is horrible.
Oh, no.
They changed it like a week and a half ago, and it, like, you'll be watching for 5 or 10 minutes, and then it just decides, nope, we're just not going to play anymore. And you have to completely refresh it to get it to restart.
And by refresh it, you have to stop it, exit the app, open the app back up, go back to live streams, and it's about every 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. Nope. Might as well just stand outside
and look
with a beer in my hand, look up into the sky and be like, hey, is this fucker gonna come or not?
That's what I mean. You know, they track like from the northwest to the southeast, from the southwest to the northeast typically, right? Is that right, Jason?
Yeah, yeah. Typically, that or just straight east to west.
And so usually what I do is I just... Like what I was doing last night is just open the door and look at the lightning flashes and look at the clouds. Well, yep. You know, I heard the song of my people, make sure there wasn't anything going on. But again, like Jason said, we're not a weather cast. We play video games.
Do you?
Yeah.
I mean, we've been playing old video games lately.
Yeah.
But we play video games.
I might've said it last week, but I don't know if I did. I beat Dark Souls 1.
Yes, you did mention that. You were playing 2.
Yeah, and I'm done with the most of the main story of 2, and I'm working on the DLC, so I'm most of the way through the Iron Keep right now. It's hard. That's very hard. And Dark Souls 2... So let's say... The reason that people don't like Dark Souls 2 as much as 1 and 3 is it's not a Miyazaki Dark Souls. And the tuning in that game's weird. It's the trash mobs are hard and the bosses are easy, and then sometimes both are hard. I'm on the two really hard bosses in Iron Keep. There's a guy with a big sword and a little sword, and what is it called? The Fume or something? I can't remember. Anyways, he's pretty hard. And then there's a samurai guy that like does total like samurai slashes that are super hard to predict and parry and dodge through because they just happen almost like half a second. I feel like it's the inspiration for Sekiro. It's so fucking hard. And so I've ping ponged back and forth between these two bosses. And I was like, you know what? Fallout 4 update's coming out. I'm going to install that. So I did. And then I was like, I played this too recently. I'm going to have to put it back down. What else have I not played in a while? Because there's just not a lot of new games out right now. And it's like, everybody's on this Fallout high. Might as well jump in and do my own thing. And I jumped into New Vegas. And I only started really playing it last night. When I say I installed mods to try to make it look modern, I installed mods. I did not use WabbaJack. I did not use anything easy. I was looking through YouTube trying to find examples of people playing it in 2024 where it looked pretty good. And I found this guy. I think his handle's like Sinistar or something like that. And he's got a mod list. And one of the ones was like, oh, use these 20 mods and you can make, you know, New Vegas look really good. Well, I went to the guide and the guide said Ultimate. And I didn't really pay attention. I just started kind of working through an order. That mod list is like 700 mods strong. And they're all manually installed and manually edited and manually merged and bashed, etc. Some of them are optional. And let me tell you, at a certain point, I was like, that's optional. I'm not doing it. That's optional. I'm not doing it. I spent from Friday through the better part of yesterday in between stuff I was needing to do to get that done. I want to say I spent 9 hours modding New Vegas. I'm not even fucking kidding. Like, I spent 9 hours modding New Vegas. The end result's pretty worth it, though. it's ridiculous.
Surprisingly, you can get a lot of the character models in that game looking pretty damn good, and you can get some of the lighting looking pretty damn good, too.
I got really good at using NVEdit, which is a mod editing tool. So I guess that we're going to get in some really nerdy shit for a second. So the nice thing about some of the newer games is there's a thing called WabbaJack, and what WabbaJack does is you install an EXE on your computer that grabs a list of mods and your login to Nexus Mods, and you click a button and you set directories for it, and it just installs everything in the correct order for you and overwrites and fixes everything as it goes, and it follows a mod list that's set up by somebody else. As long as none of the links are broken, that thing will do all of that for you, and as long as it takes you to download everything, essentially. You can install a huge mod list in like, I don't know, if you have a really fast internet connection and you got the subscription to Nexus, like 30 minutes, you could have 800 mods installed, and it will merge mods together into big patches so that it doesn't hit the mod limit, etc., and will edit your INI files and everything and do it all for you all at once. And it's awesome. There's a couple of those for New Vegas, but they're a little bit dated. There are people that have been editing mods for that now for 14 years. And there are some very high definition mods. Because my list was getting so big, I started opting out of the 4K textures into 2K textures because it's just loading so much. But I am loading it off an NVMe. I am running it on a 4090 and a 5900X. And I do have 32 gigs of RAM and a XMP profile of 3600. So, like, I'm not on a wimpy machine. I probably didn't need to do that. I probably could have loaded all 4K stuff. Like, I'm not having FPS issues. I'm even running ENB mods on top of it. I'm not having any FPS issues. I have a steady 119 frames per second. That's what I locked it in at because my TV's refresh rate is 120. So I locked it at one frame under so I wouldn't see anything. And, I had to go in. So the process is look at the list, and download mods in the exact order this guy tells you to do, because I was following an ordered guide. And then overwrite the files he tells you to do. And then after you're done, ever so often, I'd launch the game, make sure it would work. Then I'd back out, and then I'd load something called loot, which loot will reorder your list and check for conflicts. And if there's conflicts, go into the ESP or ESM file, which are the mod files, and check for conflicts. And if there are conflicts, check to see what mods are having the conflict and either restore the base version or find if I need to override it in a different order, because the guy's list is a few years old. So that's what I ended up doing. So I'd do that, go like 5 or 6, maybe 10 mods deep, run loot, check for conflicts, go back and check to envy edit, and then see if I needed to restore something. And I did that. I did not do 700. I did 385, I think, somewhere in that neighborhood, maybe closer to 400 with merged. I merged it down to 115. So what merging is there something I want to say, it's called mesh edit or something to that effect. It's not mesh. Maybe it is. I don't know. Merged something. But anyways, you go in and you find files that are of similar properties, right? Like I was downloading, like, here's a coffee cup. Here is a rug, you know, rugs of New Vegas, coffee cups in New Vegas, like all these little individual loose files. And I'd merge them to bigger packs, and call it like miscellaneous items, right? And I'd take all those and merge it into one patch, because if you hit 255 mods, the game like freaks out. But then, you know, there's other things like the original game only runs in 2 gigabytes of RAM, so you have to get a patch that expands it to 4 gigabytes. And then I run a script that will let you just use whatever RAM you want. So basically you say you can use as much as you want. And mine's going up to like 11 gigs of RAM right now. But I've got 24 gigs of just video memory without it even touching my RAM. So none of that's an issue. So I just let it use whatever it wants to use. But anyways, after you merge all that stuff together, then you check to see if it runs again and then run it. And so I started that off and on all day Friday after work. And, you know, even there sitting there talking to my girlfriend while I'm just merging and putting shit together. And then I finally got, I didn't follow the list exactly. Like there was a couple of things that were either outdated or not. Like I'd run the game and the way that New Vegas tells you that something's fucked up with the mesh being the texture wrapping an object, is it'll just put a big square on that character or item with a huge white exclamation mark that's as big, bigger than a character. So like I had one gun that was sitting in a cup, this single action shotgun, and it was like sitting there, and I was like, oh, well, I probably got that. Well, the other thing with New Vegas, and I don't know if it does this on Fallout 4 because I've never modded Fallout 4 like this, is you can open console and then mouse over the item, and then it'll give you the file name that it's referencing, and that way with that file name I can go into NV edit and then figure out which mod's causing the issue.
Yes.
So you just mouse over it and it tells you exactly what item it is.
Yep, long as you have the console open.
So yeah, I did a lot of that going through the first 20 minutes of the game several times for a couple of hours yesterday, like finding things that didn't think it was broke, but that I found it was broke. And then it kind of came back to there was something called Fixed and Clean that was a NPC mod that I was using that was not fixed or cleaned, and it was overriding stuff that was newer. So after I figured that out, then I'm, you know, basically everything looks great. But end result is it looks like a fairly modern game. Things that I've noticed right away, right, is the bones that are Fallout, right, the actual skeleton structure of everything, the actual rocks, right, they're still a lower poly count than what I'm used to. It's just now they're wrapped in really pretty looking textures. Like at one point I was going to do more grass in the wasteland, and then it just makes it look weird. So I deleted that. Had an ENB in there that made the sky way too bright to my liking. And then I figured out how to edit ENB files to my liking. And so I just got a different ENB, replaced the sky, and then re-edited the color values and the light values of the ENB until it looked the way that I wanted it to. But yeah, I played the first 20 minutes of the game like 30 times. tweaking things until I got it the way that I wanted it. But the end result, and I've sent you guys just pictures of my TV, but it looks pretty damn good. The character models are on par, almost on par with Fallout 4, Fallout 4 modded. But, you know, the skeletal structure isn't quite as complex as it is in Fallout 4. So, like, if everybody does, if you don't have clothes, like, it's pretty easy to tell these are older character models. And I'm using the vanilla bodies because I think the, what is this called, like, CBBE bodies always does weird shit. Like, every time you loot somebody and you take all their shit, like, you got a bunch of dicks hanging around and, like, weird vaginas of, like, fucked up raiders, like, you know, torsos that are like a vagina or a dick. And I think it looks weird and gross and creepy. So I don't want to mess with that mod. I'd rather have the goofy ass looking underwear bra that's on the character when I kill them and strip search them. Right. But you know, things like replacing textures on weapons and replacing some of the animations to look a little bit more modern, changing the lighting engine, changing the landscapes and the skies. And some of the particle effects and the lighting, like the total lighting, there's an indoor lighting overhaul. Like I did a couple of things. One of the things was add different interior lights. And the other thing was adding windows to buildings that look like they had windows. And then the normal game just don't have windows for whatever reason. So like you get all of these god rays indoors now where it's like simulated ray tracing essentially. It looks pretty fucking good. I'm really impressed with how these mods change the game. And so I don't regret what I did, but if I ever play it again, I'm going to go a little bit lighter on the mods because that took so long. If you're a super fan, sure. I would consider myself a super fan. If you're not, and it maybe spend 8 hours playing the game and maybe an hour modding it. Like, this is ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah, but, I mean, gotta admit, like, the dock looks super great. The one waitress, I forget her name, that looked great.
Yeah, I showed you guys the very intro of the game earlier yesterday. Trying to remember what it's Doc something or other. It's the guy that that voices Saul in Battlestar Galactica. But yeah, I posted a couple of pictures from my TV of the character models and stuff. The ENB has a slight LOD thing where it grays or changes focus when it gets a little bit further out of LOD. And it actually works quite well for this, but like just the NPCs, like I got a total NPC overhaul and like they look really fucking good. My character looks pretty good too. The only thing I couldn't fix was the, when you do your initial character, it's still super low poly, on the picture of the face. And then when you pop out of that, it looks like 10 times better. So like it has the right haircuts. And the higher detail eyes that I added, you know, and the better, like, hair textures, everything else, skin textures. But in the character editor when I started, it's still, like, the low-poly, like, 480p texture that it's using. It's crazy low, which is weird. But, like, whatever. The end result is it looks good. And like,
well, that just tells you there's a different set of textures for character creation.
Yeah, the overall game, though, like, I loaded up vanilla to build my library, right, of things. It's night and day different. it's leagues above the original game, although the characters look completely different. The remodded NPCs look all the way different, which is fine because they look way better. But, like, even just down to the details of the clothes and the weapons, like, my 10mm, I've got a worn 10 millimeter pistol that I'm using a lot right now. And it looks so good. Only thing I forgot about were gloves. The gloves on all of my characters look really dated when I'm in first person mode, but like, whatever, like the game's playing great. I'm remembering a lot of why I like this game. It is not as much about scavenging as Fallout 4 at all. just for the record, because me and you, Jason, were kind of talking about that. And you're like, yeah, I remember scavenging for shit. Well, I mean, you do a little bit. But the only things that you're modding is you're breaking down ammo to get different ammo. So, like, I don't use 22 long rifle for anything, but I can break that down, that powder, use that pistol powder for another reload on a different gun. And then if I've got, like, a crazy high science skill, I can build stim packs. If I've got a really high survival skill, I can – if I've got, you know, coyote meat or gecko meat or whatever, I can start to make myself survival items. And then a handful of things. I don't remember this in the original game, but, like, you can use certain items to make weapon mods. And I think in the original game you just purchased or found mods that you could add to your weapons. And I've got a mod that – I think it's called – Weapon Mods Expanded. So maybe, I don't remember if you could craft in-game or not, but this lets me use common items to make mods. And then
you could, but it was very limited, and I think you only got access to a crafting bench when you got to New Vegas.
No, I don't know for sure, because again, I'm using a mod, but there's a weapon bench right outside the general store in Good Springs.
Yeah, there wasn't in the original game.
But you're not crafting junk weapons from scratch. I haven't ran into a junk weapon yet, to be honest with you. I think that's the pipe guns are totally a Fallout 4 invention. If
they were,
because I'm using, like, I've got some crappier weapons, right? Like, I've got a makeshift, like, Uzi, that I have repaired. And instead of, like, stripping stuff down to its base components, it's like items that are kind of like each other can be combined together to increase durability on that item. So, like, you know, leather armor might combine with, like, a different radar armor, etc., and then you just use that and combine it together. And it's not different pieces of armor like it is in Fallout 4, so there's not arms and legs and face and head and chest. It's just a whole suit of armor that you have. And then you've got glasses, and then you've got a helmet, and then that's it. So you just kind of combine, like, weapons. I'm not repairing them with scrap metal. I've got two Uzis. I combine them together. It increases the durability of one of them. So it's, I guess, you know, figuring that you're using the components of one to make the other. But it because it's so much less focused on that stuff, I'm not just, like, picking up fuckloads of, like, coffee cups, right, for ceramic. I'm not like picking up, well, I am picking up scrap metal when I run across it, because I can use that for repair kits. Scrap metal, a wrench, and duct tape, and some wonder glue, I think. But for the most part, I'm not, like, grabbing that shit for anything. Like, I'm just playing the game, and I am checking containers for caps and bullets, but I am leaving a lot of shit behind, which is nice. I'm just focused on the story and the writing. Right off the bat, it's just way stronger than 4 ever thought it could be. It really does need redone in a modern engine. Like, it's such a good game. Like, it's funny going from, like, the intro video looks so like StarCraft 2 or StarCraft 1. Like, it's such a dated intro movie. And, like, there was an AI upscale that I could get, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to see this, like, a handful of times. I don't fucking care. But yeah, it, like, runs at 30 FPS. It's, like, super low poly textures. Like, games look better. Really crappy B-tier games have better graphics than the intro movie for New Vegas. Like, it looks super fucking dated. But, like, you're not even starting off as a vault dweller. Like, that's another thing that's so much different about New Vegas versus the other ones. I haven't discovered the first vault, and I haven't played this in so long, I don't remember a lot of it. But essentially, you're shot in the head, right? You're a courier, so, like, a wasteland mailman, right? And so you're just a dude that took a job, and then you got shot in the head, but you didn't die. This robot digs you up, takes you to the town dock. The down dock, like, fixes you up, patches you up. You pick your stat points, and he's like, oh, yeah, I used to be a vault dweller. He hands you a pit boy. And then your first quest is, like, figure out what the hell happened, basically, right? Why did you get shot in the head? Why did that guy try to kill you? And then, you know, you get a tutorial mission. You get a couple of missions that involve some of the NPCs with that town. And then from there, you can just kind of do whatever the fuck you want. But it has this system where it's like, okay, if you stay on the main road, you'll get hit a handful of times by some enemies that are lower level. If you go off the road even a little bit, like, the enemies get way, way, way tougher. And, like, the game or NPCs in the game are like, oh, stay on A95, you know, essentially basically telling you, like, you're not high enough level to go. We're just wandering all over the place. You've got a varmint rifle and a pistol and maybe some, like, throwing spears or something. Like, you're not any good at anything. Like, just stick to the road and go south. And then you find a little town, right? You solve some quests. You have some options. Like, I had three different options because they needed a sheriff. And one of them, you know, doesn't matter. This is not really spoilers. The game's fucking 14 years old. You've got an option of, like, three sheriffs. You can repair this Robotron, just this robot that thinks he's the sheriff or a deputy or whatever that's in this, like, little casino that's kind of the heart of the town. You can repair him if you've got high enough skills, or you can try to convince him if you've got a high enough speech skill. So if you have high enough repair, science, or speech, or the right parts, you can repair him and turn him into the sheriff. Or you can go to, in this game, the NCR has, like, kind of trying to hold on to control of this corner of the wasteland. And what they're doing is they're fighting Caesar's Legion. And Caesar's Legion is a bunch of, like, psychopaths that follow, like, you know, they've read a handful of stories about Caesar, you know. So they all have Roman names, right? Like, old Latin names. And they enslave, rape, and pillage all along the wasteland. And they're trying to take over this area. So the NCR is trying to hold them back. And so they enlisted these people. They call the Powder Gangers, which were – so they enlisted a bunch of prisoners to go and try to help rebuild portions of this road and rebuild the infrastructure. Those guys have escaped, and now you've got an option. Like, one of the sheriffs is captured by those guys. You've got – you can go convince the NCR to essentially enact martial law over the town, or you can repair the Robotron. And – of course, I was like, I'm just going to go find the guy that used to be a sheriff that's over at this old prison and then fight all these prisoners and just, like, fuck them up. But I could have sided with them, right, and then taken over Prim. Or could have sided with NCR and then had them enact martial law. Or could have just repaired the robot. Like, there's all these different little options, right? And instead of there being Radiant quests in this game, there's just quests. The closest thing they have to a Radiant quest in this game is outside of the NCR office, there was a bounty poster, and I walked up to it, and then it said a location's been added to your Pip-Boy, and then it just had a quick description of, like, what the guy was wanted for, and then I could go find him, right? It doesn't do Radiant quests. Like, they took the Fallout 3 engine, prettied it up a little bit for the time, and then just worked on stories like a motherfucker, and then did a whole bunch of their own weapons. It's so much different than a Bethesda Fallout. And the funny thing is there's mods that add different loading screens to the game. So the original property of Fallout was done by Interplay and Black Isle, right? So basically, Interplay's still around under Brian Fargo. And then Black Isle turned into Obsidian, which a lot of people are pretty familiar with now. So I can mod replace all the Bethesda logos in the whole game, which is funny. And all the intro movies all say by either Interplay or Black Isle, which is great. But it plays so much different. The writing's stronger. The whole, like, do random bullshit to extend out the game is not really there. There is more natural incentives to go explore. Like, you have, like, a little clear triangle that points you in a direction that says there's something there undiscovered that's fairly close. You can go do that, which totally what I did. And then I run into, what do they call them? Nightkin, which is it's going to sound stupid, but it's crazy. It's a mix between a snake and a wolf. So it's like, it's got a snake head, but it's got fur, but it also has, like, a snake's tail, and they're really aggressive and poisonous. So I ran into one of those, and then it led me into a cave. And then inside the cave was somebody that had for me, it was like a really powerful shotgun was at the end of the cave. But it was just something random, right? Like, that was the incentive. Go find there. Go and see if there's loot. And the loot ended up being pretty good. And all the loot is kind of leveled to your level. But yeah, like, I'm just playing that game, and I'm just remembering why I like this game so much. Like, it's just, it's less about just grab a lot of random bullshit, and it is very story-driven and very naturally driven. It's a fantastic RPG. It is a little bit janky. It looks fucking dated as shit if you play it on a console. But holy shit, is it a good game.
Yeah. I remember it. It's just, I remember it being a great game. I just can't be asked to do all that.
I think if you're a normal person, you'd probably find like one of those 20 mod lists and do that, because that'd take you like 20 minutes. You know, maybe 30 minutes if you're not, like, modding's pretty easy. Even then, like, you'd get Vortex and just do the 20 mod list and call it good. You know what I mean? Which I probably should have done, but I'm pretty hardcore, and I went with 400 mods.
Yeah,
but you know,
Justin and I are not normal.
No, I'm not normal. I'm wearing an NCR hat right now, right? Like, I've got two different follow ball caps.
I spent like even after using that Wabajack mod list, I still spent like another 4 hours installing even more mods on top of it, because
Fallout,
sick human being.
You can get Fallout 4 looking really good. Like, better than most modern games, honestly. Like, you can get it looking stupid good.
But
already looks decent.
I know. I'm gonna say things like play newer games.
Well, there just isn't a lot of them right now.
But there isn't anything to play right
now. It was the perfect time to go back to old games. I was like, do I go to Witcher? Do I go to Fallout 1?
Witcher.
Do I go to Fallout 1 and, like, work my way through? Like, I'd said it last week. I'd committed to working my way through the major Souls games, which, no, that does not include Bloodborne, because I'm not as big a Bloodborne fan as everybody else is. And also, I can't play it on PC. That's the other thing. If I could play it on PC and just, like, up-res it a hair, like, that would be great.
It does need a little bit.
It needs a facelift. Or at least if it was on PC, people would update it.
Oh, yeah.
But well, I like time. Dark Souls 1, like, looks, the remaster looks pretty fucking good. Like, all things considering, like, they took a game that's very much downsampled and took all the textures and made them crispy. Like, some of them still look kind of dated. Like, the ladder textures look really dated. Like, the staff textures, like, anything that's a circle is very polygonal. But the lighting and the, like, the art style itself is pretty complex, so that helps with some of the dated look on some of the textures. And then the 4K update, 120 FPS update with remaster, makes it run super freaking smooth. And even Dark Souls 2, I'm playing the Scholar of the First Sin edition, which is why I'm playing through all the DLC and everything else. Runs at 4K, 120 FPS, and does not have the problem that it originally did, where your durability goes like four times as fast because it's not running at 30 FPS. But that looks pretty good too. Like, it's funny enough, it doesn't look as sharp as the Dark Souls remastered, which is funny. But it's got higher detail textures and a better lighting engine. But, I mean, it's pretty fun. I told you guys last week, like, I got in the middle of some big PvP event amongst people that are hardcore Dark Souls 2 players. Which essentially just goes off your soul level, which is how many souls you've encountered, you know, whether you kept them or not, or spent them or not. And so, you know, the honorable thing to do is to stop leveling at 150 so you get the biggest range of people, because it looks at your level plus your soul level and then matches you based on a range. And I don't want to PvP that much, so I just kept leveling because I want to make the Uber character, I guess. And I'm doing a hex build, which means that I'm pouring equal amount of points into faith and intelligence and almost equal in attunement. So, I don't know. I'm just going to let that character continue to level until I'm done with these freaking DLCs. But, yeah, New Vegas, that game's more than pretty all right. Like, it's got to be it's definitely in my top 10 games of all time, if not in my top 5. It's so good. But Jason, have you been playing? Did you dodge the patch altogether so you could use your mods?
I did. My Steam has been sitting in offline mode for the better part of a week and a half, so that it couldn't force Fallout to update.
Well, to be fair, it broke a lot of mods, and I played enough of it just to see what it was. Like, I had somewhere between 5 and 10 quests that got added to my quest log. That didn't mod it at all. I just loaded it, played through, you know, the intro, got to the point where you get out of the vault and start wandering around the neighborhood a little bit. And then a bunch of, like, new quests out of nowhere just kind of, like, dropped into my log.
Yeah, I'll let it update once, once I know some of the stuff has been updated. For the most part, mods I need to worry about being updated are some of the script extension mods. Like Fallout 4 script extender, and some of the other script mods, textures and stuff. That those are fine as long as the script mods are updated. So it's just waiting to see when the script extenders get updated, which is going to be probably a couple more weeks usually before that happens.
Yeah, most of the update was good for consoles. It really up-resed the game for newer consoles. So if you had a PS5, right, like, it upgraded the textures to 2 and 4K textures, right, at 60 FPS. And the same for the Xbox as well. So for those people, right, it helped them out a lot. For PC players, it basically just added quests and broke mods. It did not do anything really meaningful for the people on PC. They called it a next-gen update. Well, just next-gen for consoles, not really next-gen for anybody else.
It was really a bad thing. Especially considering they knew it was going to break fucking mods. And these games being so well modded, this isn't the first time that they had done something like this that just broke mods.
Yeah, and you know, they even let you mod it on consoles too. So, like, there's a pretty healthy community on console that goes through the Creation Club.
Yeah,
to download mods, which is kind of like the most popular mods off Nexus get put on at Creation Club. And then I've got a handful of, like, mods that you have to spend money on, which is crazy. Which is why PC gaming is awesome.
Yeah, it's superior, far superior. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. At last update, basically the modder who maintains and updates the script extender basically said, I have no idea how long this is going to take me. This one's going to be similar to the patching we had to do for Skyrim's anniversary edition.
Yep.
So,
like you said, not the first time. It's just an unfortunate practice where they keep doing this the shit. And honestly, they just need to leave it the fuck alone.
Or do an actual overhaul.
This is a token effort. No, they need to do an overhaul. But that's asking a lot.
Honestly, the older games are the ones that could use the facelift. Like, it's pretty hard to get one to run on a Windows 10 or 11 machine. I think you have to use Virtual Console to use it, to run it, because it's on, the original one came out in like 97.
Yeah, you basically have to virtualize like a Windows 98 or XP install to really get to...
It'll only run on 32-bit systems and...
Yeah. Well, New Vegas only runs on a 32-bit system too,
right?
Which is why you've got to do some stuff to help with the memory address so that it can get used more than freaking 4 gigs of RAM,
right? Well, I don't know. I mean,
it's sunny and raining.
A whole other thing of old games versus continuing on with newer games, the whole preserving video games and, video game history. And it just, like, you could get into, it gets real fucking deep, right? I think that, there is a we like to play these old games because, especially like the RPGs, because they're, they've got good stories to them, right?
Right.
But at a certain point, you're not going to be able to sustain it. And I think we're at or have passed that point already where we're just not going to be able to make everything old new again, to everybody's liking. It's just the way I feel. Like, there is going to be a situation, a moment where it's no longer possible to mod this into, mod a game into, something that is, playable. There's going to be a point where we're not going to have the technology to be able to play the games we're currently playing. Not everything is backwards compatible, Do we sit back and be like, yeah, this game needs to be like redone in the newest engine, or do we move on? Like, I'm looking at new games right now, and this is not just games; it's also movies, TV shows, shit like that. Everything old is new again. Like, everything from our childhood is being brought up. There is no new original thought,
Right.
There's touch ups and some script changes maybe. And, there's new actors thrown at it, but it's the same story. Like, I haven't, it's good for nostalgia, but it's not good business long term. And that's why I see not a lot of these companies are really putting out a Fallout New Vegas in a Unreal 5 engine or some shit, not that I mean as an as a far-fetched example, but still, it's like one of those things. Will they get anything back for it? I don't know. I like to think of these games. I played Fallout all but 1, 2 and Tactics. I started at 3. Xbox era, right? A lot of people started at 3. I will probably never play those games again. Realistically, I will never even load them up. Because A, I don't want to have to put 8 hours worth of work into into the mods just to get it to work right, and B, that's going to change what I, you know, what my perception of that game is. You know, fundamentally, right now, I can think back to three, four New Vegas, all the DLCs, and like, I had a lot of fun with that. I'm okay with leaving it in the past, though. Like, I don't have a need to take those rose-colored glasses off and, you know, re-realize what it actually is. It's a, it's hard to say because there's a lot of games that I would love to see new again, but it would just, realistically, I just don't see it happening. And it's unrealistic to make, to expect that from game manufacturers, game development studios to go back and do something that they've already done. But, you know, I have to piss on people's parades because that's what I do. It's really depressing. I'm not in the best of moods today.
Either way, we've been having fun with our old ass fucking games.
I won't dog shit on your fun. And that is that I think the modding community is still, it's healthy and it is a thing that needs to happen because there are people like you and, you two that would want to go back and play those games and see them, in a completely different light and fuck around with it and tweak the stats of shit. And that's the whole, like, growing up, that was the fucking Game Genie fucking, kids. Those are the kids that were like, will put in the code for fucking moon jump on fucking Mario just to be, just to play stupid shit, That's not wrong.
Well, and I'm not modding it in that way. Most of what I do is texture mods or some minor gameplay mods, like the weapon mods expanded on this, or things that were fixing quests.
And the fixing, I've used mods that fixes a developer issue. I had to do that with fucking Nier Automata because the PC port for it for the longest fucking time was broken. There was a bunch of shit that you put mods in there to make it work. Yeah, that's great. But it's just from my standpoint, like, yeah, I'm happy that you're having fun with it. I could never do it. I don't have the ability to have the attention span required to want to put 8 hours into fucking nesting files and fucking, merging fucking mods together to make one mod pack just to make it work. I'm a very simple man. I like shit working out of the box. So.
Yeah, I do too. I just wish there was something else that I could play that would give me this much enjoyment. And right now there just ain't, except for Helldivers. Yeah. And I kind of like Helldive my way to a point where I'm kind of like not done with it, but just saturated, right? I need a little bit of a break.
I am too. I mean, like when the only game that is... the only game that, that even scratches that itch is, like Helldivers 2 and a couple others. Yeah. It kind of gets a little nuts there, but this is the time of year where there's a gaming lull and I'm just kind of, we're just kind of like heading into that right now. And I know that's a problem. Like I've been playing Soulstone Survivors for fuck's sake. It is like, it is just like turn my brain off, play a game because game, it is game. And that is all that I was able to do But that's just because I've been fucking working like crazy. I've been running Wi-Fis to the woods because, you know, that's a thing that I get to do. I was contracted to run Wi-Fi for a campground. And I'm sitting here going, don't you camp to get away from this shit? Don't you go out into nature so that you're not glued to your phone? Is this what you do? Okay, I'll put Wi-Fi out in the woods. That's fine with me. So that my free time has been mostly, you know, terminating Cat 5 cables and fucking setting up Wi-Fi access points and
in the woods,
in the middle of the woods. While it's raining, because that was fun. Woke up this morning to, you know, had to go out there and terminate a bunch of fucking cables in the rain. Got soaking wet. And got a hell of a chill. And then I came back here, took a nap, and these motherfuckers, they decided that the podcast needed to happen right now. So I had to crawl my ass out of a warm, comfy ass bed to sit down here in front of a microphone. and that now you kind of understand why I'm sour about fucking everything old is new again. Like, just let me sleep, bitches. But yeah,
sleep is denied.
Sleep has been denied. I understand. I get it. I don't know, man. I'm still looking through fucking games. Like what games are coming out right now? And I seen a bunch of shit about just a Jiggle Physics and something or other about fucking Stellar Blade.
I just wasn't in the mood to play it.
I'm pretty same. I'm pretty same. Yeah, same. It's like okay, cool. Like I think Jiggle Physics is a very late teenager fucking, like, you know, selling point. You know, it's like, you know, playing DOA. You don't play it for volleyball. You know,
Dead or Alive was just all like watching boobs bounce when
they played it's volleyball. Just video game soft porn is all it is, and I'm like, all right, whatever. I guess I'm just the old fart that, you know, that did that. I'm not playing anything Fallout related, though most of the gaming country is, you know, going absolutely batshit fucking crazy over anything Fallout right now because of the TV show. Fallout 76 has gotten a bunch of fucking people playing it.
It has seen a big resurgence.
Like one of the biggest resurgences in player counts and
gaming history, probably.
Yeah, gaming history. It's just,
I don't know. What's the current player count on the Fallout series right now, Jason, since you probably got Steam up?
Actually don't, but I will have it up as soon as the webpage loads. Let's see. Fallout 4 is by far the tops of the two right now, with 135,000 current, with a peak in the last 24 hours of 187,500.
Wasn't it like 7 million?
Huh?
Wasn't it in the millions recently?
No. It's all time peaks, like 472,000.
Yeah, it was like re-downloads and shit like that. And that's, of course, just on Steam. You know, there is on Xbox as well. Well,
peak players in the last 30 days is 921,000.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry. So,
and keep in mind, this is just Steam, too.
That was Dota. Never mind.
I imagine Steam probably makes up between one third and a half of the resurgence users, I'd bet. And then Fallout 76 is 68,000 in the last 24 hours.
And that's a lot higher than it normally runs. So,
yeah,
it's just like, you know, because it's free on Xbox Game Pass. There's a lot of people playing on that too, and of course we don't get numbers from that.
Yeah, it was IGN posted a story the other day.
I mean, this is the highest it's been.
Well, they said Bethesda said almost
1 month after release.
Well, Bethesda said almost 5 million people jumped in across Fallout games in a single day. That's all games though, so that includes 3, 4, 76, New Vegas, etc.
That probably includes Shelter too.
Yeah, but all Fallout games, and that was on the 23rd, so that was 5 days ago. And that being said, the physical copies, I saw a story the other day that physical copies of Fallout 4 are out of stock basically everywhere. Because
they're never going to come back in stock either.
Right.
They're like, we finally got, you know, we're able to sell these last few copies. Good riddance.
Yeah, but even like all the used copies and everything else, you can get it on Amazon. It's basically the only thing you can get it on. Fuck, I don't even know if it's even in stock on Amazon.
I mean, yes, it's just, I don't know. I mean, everybody has their, you know, their fun times. I'm just not part of that crew, I guess. It's a good show. I'm looking forward to season two, but it's not enough for me to, to drop into fucking, you know, 14-year-old games and mod the fuck out of them.
Well, if you want it on Xbox One, you can get it for $16.50 right now. Game of the Year edition is currently unavailable on Amazon.
On
PS4, there's 18 left in stock on Amazon.com.
Oh, well, I mean, if you're
just get it,
if you have Steam Game Pass, you already have it.
Yeah.
So,
which is pretty cheap.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can play basically any Bethesda game that includes all the Fallouts. And when I say all the Fallouts, I mean all the Fallouts. So, you can download the original Fallout on Game Pass. Yeah. So, that is a possibility. Fallout 2 is on there. Let me see. Is Tactics on there? Because
yeah, Tactics, I've thought about trying to run one of those two through Game Pass and see if it works any better than. Straight downloads.
Yep. Tactics is on there. The only memory I have of Tactics is somebody playing it in college in 99.
I played it, and I did not get into it.
Right. I mean, that was the only memory I have of that game, is somebody was playing it in 99. That was it. Like, I don't remember anything about it, outside of the fact that this dude, he was playing it. Then again, I don't remember much of college in 99 anyway, so...
Yeah, it's I remember there was another one that's pretty bad called Fallout Brotherhood of Steel, and I was really interested in it because Meshuggah was on the soundtrack, which most of the people listening probably don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Anyways, weird Swedish metal band. And
Swedish metal band.
I remember playing it being like, okay, this soundtrack's, well, some songs I've heard before. This is a really weird snippet of a song to put on here. But, yeah, the gameplay sucks. It was a twin-stick shooter. based on the Brotherhood of Steel. It's a horrible game. It's the worst Fallout game, like bar none. Like in reverse order for me, it goes Brotherhood of Steel, honestly, bar none, the worst. And then the mobile game, and then Tactics. And then if we're going to continue working our way back through all of these games, then it goes probably 76, then Fallout 1, then Fallout 3, then Fallout 2, then 4, and then, no, 4 before 3. 4 is the worst of the modern ones, besides 76. And then 3, and then New Vegas. Like, New Vegas easily beats out all of them. All the modern ones, I wouldn't say 76 is better than 1 or 2. Well, story-wise, it's not. Gameplay-wise, it actually kind of is, but it's hard to compare. If I work it the other way, it would be New Vegas 3, 4, 2, 1, 76, Tactics, mobile game,
Brotherhood of Steel.
And then Brotherhood of Steel. Yeah, if I worked it that way. Yeah, working that backwards is hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Brotherhood of Steel game is absolutely the worst one. It's not worth playing. And Tactics is not a great tactics game, and it barely follows the Fallout lore, and it's a squad that you're leading, and the tactics part isn't very good. It's just not a very good game, and it's like hard as fuck for no reason, because the tactics suck.
I mean, it was built back then.
It was built by Black Isle, and they should have done a better job. Like, they knocked it out of the park with the other ones, and then they built tactics. So, like, what the fuck are you thinking?
It was a back then game. I give it time for being a back then game. That's okay. And of course, it's not a game that I'll ever play again. But
I've played 1 and 2 like a fuckload of times. I'd even thought about trying to get 1 or 2 to run and then see if there were some mods to just make it look okay at a bigger resolution so I could see it on my TV. Because playing those in console, it'll play in a little window. Because I have my TV set to 4K. So I'd either have to switch my resolution on my TV to something absurdly low, and then, you know, it's not a CRT, so then it looks like shit, or try to find a mod that upscales the textures, because it is so small. Like,
you can just not play it at all and be perfectly fine.
I've played 1 and 2 at least 20 times apiece.
Yep. I'm just in that.
You know, it's kind of one of those things where
what?
Tactics kind of came about as kind of a leftover of the bankruptcy from Black Isle and Interplay. And then it ended up basically being sold out to Micro Forte and 14 Degrees East, and they turned it into a completely different game and way oversimplified it, which makes it not good because you're basically just stomping through the game in power armor and destroying everything you run into.
Well, do we want to take a break?
I'm sitting here going through games on Steam, and I'm like not finding anything. But yeah, let's take a break.
All right, we'll be back. We're back.
Woohoo.
There's a good reason why we're playing old games. Because there's not a lot of news.
Not a lot of games and not a lot of news, which is kind of typical for this time.
Kinda, but even more so than normal. The one of the things with the Fallout TV show coming out is obviously, we talked a lot of Fallout this episode, right? There's been a big push of like, when's Fallout 5 going to come out? Well, the goal is before 2030.
The goal is before I retire, right?
Right. So it's in the next 6 years. That's sad that 2030 is only 6 years away. It is rumored that Fallout 5 will be coming out.
They have all of their creative efforts going into Elder Scrolls right now.
Yep.
Which got delayed because there were some delays with Starfield. Yada, yada, yada.
Well, I mean, it's Bethesda. I'm just, when it comes out, it's going to come out, and there's a very good chance that it's going to disappoint anyway.
Because they're not going to take risks with it.
They better. They've got to, because, I mean, Starfield was a risk. I mean, they went with a completely new IP. It's a completely different direction. Could it have been better? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I think what they need to do at this point is they need to outsource it to Obsidian, right? Let them finish Avowed and then work on Fallout 5, Obsidian style, right? They're all under the Microsoft family now, and we all know that Obsidian does a better job of Fallout anyway, since, you know, I don't know if Tim Cain's still part of Obsidian, but he's an original developer.
With that. Give
and,
them
and let give them partner with InXile, right? Like the original developers of the Fallout IP, and have them help with the writing and the quest design. Let Obsidian deal with the tech and the direction. And then
just hand them the Starfield engine and let them go.
And then let them completely remake what 4 and 76 were and get it back on track, and then we can have it in the next several years. But, like, you know, even with like two teams working on it, it still would take several years to finish. Like, because Bethesda has to finish Elder Scrolls 6 before they do it, right? But there's a lot of
got to make Elder Scrolls something that they can milk for another fucking 15 years, so
right.
I mean, that is the reality. They milked the fuck out of Skyrim for way longer than they should have been able to.
Well, they're in a pinch because, like, the surge of popularity of Fallout is back, right? They have to say, oh, we've got this in the works. And I think the only way that they do that is they hand it off to partner studios, right? And the partner studios that created that are now all in the same envelope. So they can have some hand in it, right? Like break off a part of the team and then let those two teams work together to make that. And then we have something way better than what Bethesda could have done. And that would be great, right? I'm looking forward to Elder Scrolls 6. I'm somewhat of a Bethesda fan, right? I understand that they get a lot of flack, and justifiably so. But I think most of that is just Todd Howard not being good at doing anything other than a single thing, right? Everything kind of follows into that Oblivion gameplay. And I need to let somebody else take the reins for a little bit and just see what they do with it, and not have it just be a complete scavenge mission, which is what the last several Fallouts minus New Vegas have been. And just see what happens, right?
Right.
Let them borrow some tech and see what happens. I know people don't want to hear them use Gamebryo engine, but like that's literally what happened with 76 with New Vegas. They got Gamebryo from Fallout 3. They modded it essentially, like updated textures and some of the things in the engine, and then used that to make their own game. And then just focused mostly on story and quest design and reused some of the assets, right? Made a few new assets. And then just built a game. And like they did that in a fairly short amount of time. Like that was a bare bones venture at like, I want to say 3 years.
They had a 2 year timeline for that.
Yeah. 2 years. And they got New Vegas. The best game in the whole franchise came out in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy. Because it's Obsidian.
They could definitely do something with it. Using like the new Starfield engine. They could do a lot of good shit with it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Do I want another Fallout? Yes. Do I want it? You know, with current gen, most definitely. But I don't want it to be shit out. You know.
Yeah, I don't want it to be shit out either.
If they get it, and they can do a great job in 2 years, great. If it takes 3 or 4. I'm more than happy to wait for it. You know, they're going to probably want to do something to capitalize on, on the series. So I still don't think that they really realized what they were getting themselves into if they, with the series. If that series takes off and is like fucking 7-8 fucking seasons long, you know, there's going to be a mounting group of people every year, every season that comes out. That's going to be like, give me another Fallout game, you know?
Well, and which it totally could, because it could realistically be an anthology series. You know, you could easily wrap up like Lucy, the ghouls, and Maximus's story in another season or two, and then you could do another story with a different set of characters.
They're not locked into that. They just jump 50 years in the future on something that's unrelated and they're good, or they jump in between two other games. Well, the thing is, if they jump in the past, they run into the issue of like canon conflicting with whatever they write in the show. So they got to jump far enough in the future that the canon from the show doesn't overwrite whatever's in the game. Right.
That's one of the biggest issues right now going into season two, is now they've got to figure out what is canon for New Vegas.
Right. So I think what they do is they just work with the show creators as they go. Right. Right. I mean, they're already doing that anyway. They got Todd Howard as an executive, I don't know, advisor or something to that effect right now, that's helping them with the show. So I think as long as they continue to work details, because they've done a pretty good job with the details, honestly. We don't have anything that's too fucked up, but they got to go like at least 50 years in the future. So that they got enough leeway to screw around with whatever they want to do with the story.
Right. Well, or they go to a completely different region. I see them doing a different region more than jumping ahead. You know, if something fucking, right now, there's not much, not much known about, like, North from America, you know? It's all been United States, right? But there's nothing really in the Midwest. There really isn't anything that has to do with Canada, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's always been in the U.S.
I mean, and I know that was by design originally, is, because of, how they wanted to do the story and everything. But, there's the whole Midwest that's just completely missing. Like...
Yeah, they could do like Montana or something,
Well, I mean, I'm looking at it from my standpoint. Yeah, it would be really cool to see like,
Fallout
that touches on some of the biggest freshwater lakes in the world. Well, the biggest freshwater lakes in the world, what that would do, and like the power struggle behind, having access to fresh water, water was always a big thing in fucking, Fallout, because all of it is irradiated in some way. Right.
Right. And then you build new creatures.
Yeah.
So,
which is a lot of the reason why I'm so psyched for whenever we finally do get the DLC sized mod that is Fallout London. That's probably the thing that pisses me off most about this next gen update. They could have just left PC alone, made a console update only, and let me still have my ability to play around in London.
Or have an offshoot, like, you know, just have it be like a different version that you can download.
Yeah.
Something that is.
I mean, they could have released it either way, but I mean, I do have to applaud them recognizing that not everybody's going to know how to load a previous version of the game pre-update in Steam or
Epic. Well, they've got plenty of different games that have come out with the original release and then the PC remaster or some bullshit where you have, you know, two versions of the fucking game. I'm looking at my Steam library right now. Right the fuck now. And there is two versions of fucking Death Stranding in my, you know, in my shit, and you can download and install. Those are two different fucking things. One of them is the director's cut, one of them is not.
Yeah, I thought about saying that makes me think about it, but I've got a goal of beating a lot of Dark Souls before I get to Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree at the end of June.
Right. Now, and I am looking at anything. I need a good game to sit down and fucking like chew through for a while.
Well, and things that you shouldn't chew through right now is Suicide Squad. So that's a new game that's came out like what, 6 weeks ago, something like mm-hmm. that, 2 months ago. And the current player count, you can look it up for me, Jason, but it's been reported at under 200 people. And Rocksteady went all in on that game, which means that they had to plan for a lot of years to get that game out. They had to put a lot of resources behind it, and nobody gives a damn about it, including us. I'd almost bought it on sale, and I was like, nah, it didn't really look like a thing for me.
Yeah, it was just games as a service.
It has 257 concurrent players.
Oh, my God.
Holy cow. Like, there's probably more people playing Destiny in Coweta, Oklahoma. Yeah, for sure. In Sulphur, Oklahoma right now after a tornado.
Wow. That's saying something. But wow.
I mean, it's pretty bad. I mean, even on release, it's absolute peak. In Steam was just 13,500 players.
Yeah, it's
like
it's
word suffering. Of mouth got around really fast.
It suffered so hard, and it's just bad decision making as well. Like it should have been better, but man. I don't know. I couldn't bring myself to play it. It was got underwhelming reviews from critics. And that was backed up by the few players that picked it up and said, you know what, this is kind of meh. And that's just unfortunate. It's like Gotham Knights did this, you know, had a similar situation, right?
Right.
You know, it just kind of got, is this meh? Maybe DC games is just cursed. It's got the Superman plague. Can't make a Superman game, right? Well, I guess you can't make anything else, right? And the fucked up thing about this is the best, one of the best selling DC games ever has been Injustice.
Right.
It's a fighting game. You know what I mean? But it was made by fucking NetherRealm, so good shit, right?
Well, and I got a other couple of things that are not necessarily happy news for everybody. Not really good news for us, but probably news we don't care about. There is a leak that Ubisoft is no longer making a Watch Dogs game. So Watch Dogs 1 and 2 together sold about 20 million units, and Watch Dogs Legion, I think, barely crested 1 million. So because of the sales of that's been shelved. And don't quote me on the exact amount of Legion, but it was like 1/10 of what each 1 and 2 did. And that game was just
having
middling
tried to
it,
play
okay.
That game.
It was okay.
It's just so Ubisoft though.
Yeah, it's the same thing that, again, playing a game that I liked a lot and realizing why I liked about it is just so no bullshit gaming. And a lot of Ubisoft games have a whole bullshit mechanic of collect these things or do these random things. It's like time sync items, right? Things to keep you playing. It's bloat content, and Ubisoft games are filled full of bloat content. And it's not gaming. It's just like a thing to do in a game that's not always particularly fun.
Well, and there's a lot of things for me to do in, say, like a roguelike that I can turn my brain off and still play a game and enjoy it. You can't do that in an Ubisoft game. It forces you into this uncomfortable, you have to pay attention, but it's brainless.
Right. That's a good way of describing it. The same thing that like Far Cry series has been suffering with for like 10 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just not that fun anymore.
At least via PC, Watch Dogs Legion sold something like 385,000 copies.
Right, but nothing compared to the first two. And honestly, one is the best one. It was a little bit bloated in two, and three was just kind of lacked direction or a sense of identity. And speaking of things being canceled, BlizzCon 2024 got canceled.
Oh, it did?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, for the first time. I don't know that they canceled
BlizzCon got canceled?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I got to look this one up. Holy shit.
Yeah, I don't have a reason why, but I mean, I can read the press statement because it's not very long. So their press statement reads, after careful consideration over the last year, we at Blizzard have made the decision not to hold BlizzCon in 2024. The decision is not made lightly as BlizzCon remains a very special event for all of us. We know many of you look forward to it. We're approaching this year differently, and we've had explored different event formats in the past. Rest assured that we're just as excited as ever to bring BlizzCon back in future years. Over the next few months, we'll be sharing more details about our launches coming later this year, yada, 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 so on and so forth. While these events are distinct from BlizzCon, we're harnessing all of our creativity and imagination to ensure they carry the same spirit of celebration togetherness. Our hope is that in these experiences, alongside several live-streamed industry events where we'll keep you up to date with what's happening in game universes, we'll capture the essence of what makes the Blizzard community so special. So they're going the cheap way, and all their reveals will just do via live streams is what it sounds like to me.
Well,
because they had a game that was some survival game that got canceled, and I'm sure they lost a bunch of money on working on something they didn't come out with. And so they're like, we'll save some money with BlizzCon and just not do it.
Well, yeah, well, they had
that also sounds like that the rumors of a lot of restructuring happening under the Microsoft umbrella are true.
That's a very good possibility too. Thing is that
I didn't catch what you said, Jason. What did you say?
Restructuring.
Yeah. So they fired a lot of people.
Also backs up a lot of the rumors about restructuring under the Microsoft umbrella happening.
That's true.
Yeah. So with Overwatch 2 basically falling flat, Diablo 4 is there, but we're waiting for basically the first DLC to come for Diablo 4 to reignite, and that's asking a lot for Diablo 4 since it just came out not too long ago.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft is just kind of like I don't know. It's there. They're playing their greatest hits right now with the World of Warcraft Classic. I think they're up to, you know, the expansion that broke me, which was Cataclysm. So they're replaying their greatest hits on that side. The people who play World of Warcraft play World of Warcraft, you know? There's just not much to say, you know? Like, what else are they gonna say? They don't have any new, you know, anything new coming. You know, so it's just, I can see this, but you know, excuse me. Yeah, thinking about my days in World of Warcraft made me throw up in my mouth a little bit.
wrapping it back around, Fallout 3 is what got me out of World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
It got me to start this podcast.
What got me out of World of Warcraft was that was Call of Duty World at War and Jason and a couple other buddies pulling me out of World of Warcraft to play Call of Duty. And that game sucks. Modern Warfare 2 was what actually pulled me out of playing, you know, World of Warcraft, which is crazy. Having, you know, canceled a BlizzCon, they might come back and say, you know what, it might not be worth doing a whole con for. That's what they, you know, that's what E3 started off as, is, oh, we'll come back next year. And then it never did. You know?
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I mean, there's still conventions happening for fucking games that, like, you wouldn't think there's conventions for. Like, TennoCon still happens for fucking Warframe.
Yeah, the game's been out, like, more than 10 years, right?
That convention still happens. So, I mean, where there's fans, there's going to be a convention. So, it's just surprising. You know, normally BlizzCon is one of those things that happens every year. They sell out of the fucking tickets almost immediately. Like, it's one of those things where they may not have, you know, they may not generate a bunch of, like, revenue off of it, but it still sells, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of surprising that they would cancel it. Just, you know, my thoughts anyway. I don't see much else. Like, there's not much in the way of, like, new games coming out. Games that I wish that I could, like, reach into the future and grab would be, like, Monster Hunter Wilds. I wish I could just grab that out of the future and play it right now.
Well, we don't really have a whole lot else though today to talk about gaming wise, do we?
No, it's just kind of like right now we're in a little bit of a lull, and you know everybody's going back to their comfort games, or you know experiencing the wonders that is spring, or you know, wearing the woods for Wi-Fi, because that's a lot of W's, wearing the woods for Wi-Fi. But yeah, this is not much, man, not much at all. Oh, crap. I'll dust something off soon. Maybe next week I'll be able to say that I played a game. I don't know. I really don't. I really don't know. I might still be out there wiring up the woods. But anyway.
Well.
We done?
I think so. Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/TheRealTiltCast, and search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find some friends of the show. You've got For the Love of Gaming. You've got BMFcast.com and TVGP.TV. They've also talked about Fallout. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right. Peace.